Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a great information to share with you today on the call. And while we're on the call, well, first of all, today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rickc@ericlaughlin.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on Facebook. You can join me out at facebook.com/groups/sales.tech.program. The link is also in your email. You can also just search for it on Facebook or even add it to your favorites. Now, to access the audio and video recordings for the calls, the audio from the calls and then the video from the bonuses, you can go out to salestechsystems.com/stp-archives. And the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And there are 12 modules of content. Now, a couple quick announcements before we get started here. For one, I have multiple webinars coming up. I finally got a ton of webinars scheduled, and I've been doing webinars. In fact, I'm doing a bit of a challenge right now, a personal challenge, in doing 20 webinars over 20 business days. And so I started last Wednesday, so I did an event webinar on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. I did one on Monday. Today I did one, and then I have ones coming up on tomorrow, which is the 30th. I have one on, one on July 31st and one on August 1st. And I was taking a look out on the Sales Tech Systems page. I can see a couple of these. I'm going to share the links to them here, so let me pull them up here, and I'll pop them into the group. So let's see, here we go. Free LinkedIn training, and that one is going to be on tomorrow. And the other one is I'm doing a training on Twitter. That is on August 1st. Let me share the link on that one. Free Twitter training. Okay, perfect. And I shared the link on that one too. That's Friday at 10 a.m. The one tomorrow is 11 a.m. So LinkedIn on the 30th at 11 a.m. and then one on Friday at 10 a.m. on Twitter. And I have another one. I'm going to repeat the one that I did today, which was on how to automate social media using Hootsuite. I'm going to repeat that on Thursday, so I'll get the link set up for that a little bit later. I thought I already done that, but I had not. And the other thing is I'm also doing a three-hour technology virtual immersion on Saturday. And that's going to be 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. And so I'm working on getting the registration page set up for that one as well. So we'll be getting the word out as the week goes on. So you might want to block that in your calendar if you'd like to attend that. Okay. Now let's jump into our content for today. Today we're going to be talking about PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. And so maybe it's a fun topic, maybe not. It's a fun topic in the sense that it's about how to get money into your bank account, but most people don't get too excited about accounting type things. But really, this is a process for how to get more money in your pocket. So if you're not making enough money, it might be because you're not making it easy enough for people to give you money. And so when you make an offer, you want to have a method for you to be able to collect that payment easily. And there are all sorts of ways to do it, one of which is a sales page, which is a web page where people can click and go purchase. But there are other ways, particularly for those who offer some type of a service, where you might want to invoice someone on that. So if you want to make more money, then there's a value of optimizing the way that people can pay you. So I would look at what are the methods and the amounts that that you ask for payment. And, you know, one of the simple things you can do, like for some people, they just collect, they collect payment in full, and that's the way that they operate. And so a simple change that you can make that will bring more money in is by beginning to offer payment plans. And a payment plan is where you collect part of the money up front, and then you collect one or more payments on the back end. And so you have to figure out what the amounts are, and you have to figure out over what time that you're going to collect that. And you also have to figure out whether you're collecting that manually or whether you're collecting it in a more automated fashion. Now, if you offer some type of a professional service, and the way that you collect payment is by sending somebody an invoice, then you want a quick and easy way to do that, because you don't want to just send the invoice and then wait for a check to be mailed to you. It would be ideal if you gave them a simple way where they can just simply click and then complete that payment online. And so a great tool that you can use to invoice clients for your work is PayPal. PayPal has a great invoicing system that's set up. It's not particularly great from a tracking standpoint, like it doesn't automatically integrate into your QuickBooks or something like that. And QuickBooks, I believe, does have some type of invoicing capability within it. But you can just go in directly within PayPal, and you can have you have an address book, or you can add in people, their name and email address, and then you can select a person, and you can send them an invoice. And so what I've found to be a great way to do this is if you're talking to somebody over the phone and they're ready to sign up or purchase, then you can simply go into PayPal and then go ahead and send them an invoice. And the way invoices work within PayPal, they have they give you the opportunity to create templates. And so a template is where you can set up, you know, there's all sorts of things you can fill out there. You first of all, you name the template. Then you would identify what the specific service is. You identify any description about what the product or service or program is. And then you indicate the amount. And then you can even add a discount in. So you might have an instance where you want to add a discount onto the product for something, and so you can back that out and it will show that discount on there. And then when you've got everything set up, then you can go ahead and click send, and then it will email that invoice to somebody, and they can click and then go out online, and it will prompt them to pay through PayPal. So what's great about PayPal is they can either pay out of the balance that they have on their PayPal account, or they can have it set to charge their credit card, say, or even request money from the checking account, in which case usually there's like a couple-day lag time before the funds actually come in. So invoicing is a simple way that you can get paid and pay quickly too, because in that way you can just kind of check back. The other thing is you have the opportunity in there to go in and send a reminder, and that's kind of nice, because otherwise, you know, it's not so easy to just go in and try to send that email again. But you just go in, select the button to remind, and it sends the email out for you automatically with the link again. And so that's a simple thing to do. And you probably wouldn't want to send that reminder out. You probably want to wait a couple days and then go ahead and follow up. So let me pop out onto the Facebook page for a moment, and we'll see who's posting out there. Again, you can join me out in the Sales Technology Training Program group. Click on the link in your email to find it. Our comment goal today is 40, and it looks like we're up to 11 so far. So great job. Looks like Alan and Roy are both posting out there. So I'll pop out there and read a few of the comments a little bit later on the call. So now one thing, another idea I want to share with you here is on what you're actually billing or invoicing for. Like, what are you actually getting paid on? And so there's a couple ways that you can, you know, calculate how much money that you want to charge someone. One is on a project basis, and another is by the hour. And so there might be times when you just estimate the amount of work, and then you charge a flat fee for the whole project. And there might be times that you want to just charge hour by hour. And, you know, each of those has its own benefits for both the company providing the service, and also for the client themselves. Like some people might like to pay by the hour, and that way they're just paying for a specific amount of time. whereas others might want feel like they're getting a better deal if they're paying for the whole project at once. So, it's a good idea to learn a little bit more about how people pay for services, you know, what's been their past experience. And that might give you an indicator of how best to calculate that that job that you are going to do for them. Now, another way to work, and this is a particularly profitable strategy, is to do a retainer. With a retainer, the client pays a set fee each month, and they pay it month in and month out, and then you provide a service. So a simple example would be bookkeeping. The company pays the bookkeeper on a monthly basis, and the bookkeeper does bookkeeping work. So it's a retainer on an ongoing basis. Simple. So if you know, the challenge for a lot of small business owners, particularly service professionals, is that they sell a job, they complete a job, and then the job is done, and they don't get any more money from it. Whereas with a retainer, you enroll that client once, and then the client pays you on an ongoing basis. Now, how do you set up recurring payments? So if you want to be paid on an ongoing basis, how do you set that up? It really depends on the type of service that you're using. So for example, you may need some type of a shopping cart or an e-commerce system, which will allow you to set up the recurring payments. And that would integrate in with PayPal or with a merchant account and then charge the amount. And, you know, there's a bit of work that's involved in setting that up and linking the two of those together. And but once it's set up, then you can go in and you could set up a product with a recurring payment. And so, you know, if you're doing this for the first time, it might take some work trying to figure it out. And then once it's done, then you know how to do it for the future. And another technique, by the way, is there's a process where you can actually draft checks from a customer's account. So it's a technique where you can actually, you literally print your own checks and then you send them, print your own checks, with your client's account information on it and send the checks through the bank in the form of a draft. It's a very old technology, but you would need to find a vendor who does that. It's not something that you can just do on your own, print up checks and all that. They have a very specific process, and so you need to seek out somebody who knows how to do that. But that's another method. There's some additional benefits to doing that, but one of which is you don't have to pay like credit card merchant fees, which if, you know, in some cases, like with American Express, you might be paying a 4% fee. And so if you just draft checks, then there's zero fee except for the cost of the service itself. So that's another method where you can collect recurring payments over time. Now, what do you do when people stop paying? That's always a challenge. Not everybody who's on a payment plan will complete that payment plan. Some people will stop. Some people have an issue. Some people will stop and restart and stop and restart and go back and forth. So, first of all, you have to, it's a good idea to remain in contact with your client or customer. Have a conversation on a regular basis. Touch base. It's also a good idea to figure out in advance how you're going to let people know if there's an issue. Like, it's not just a matter of, oops, they didn't make their payment, let me figure out what to do. It is, I've written out a sequence of emails or letters or whatever else it is that will go out. I know I'm going to make a phone call on a specific day as to when you can, or when I will follow up with them. And so if you have that sequence over time, then it allows you to be able to focus in and communicate with them if there's an issue to collect the payment. And by the way, you can also anticipate, because some issues that prevent collection of payment have nothing to do with whether money's available or not. And I'll give you a simple example. If you charge credit cards and so you have a recurring payment set up through a credit card, then if the expiration date comes and goes, then you'll no longer be able to bill that account. So what that means is then you have to proactively reach out and get a new expiration date, because the customer will receive a new credit card and it will have a new expiration date on it. So when you enter in account information, it's a good idea to somehow keep track of when that expiration date is going to expire, or have some means of searching in your system to identify that, and then you can follow up. So little things like that can make a difference, because otherwise, I mean, if you're proactive, then you can fix it before it's an issue. If you wait too long, then you're going to have that situation where you go, oh, the payment didn't run. What happened? Oh, the credit card expired. I wasn't expecting that. Well, you know, expectation sometimes has to do with preparation and anticipation. And, well, that sounds like a tweet right there, I tell you. If somebody captured that and posted, that would be great. What did I say? Something like preparation has to do with expectation and anticipation or something. I got a little bit wrong that time. But anyway, so the big idea there is that you want to focus in on how to, you know, how to anticipate if the credit card is going to expire, and then follow up in advance. So be proactive on these matters, because typically the longer this goes on, the longer an issue before you can collect payment, the more of an issue there's going to be. So that is a challenge with having to deal with payment plans, is sometimes you have a little bit of messy work on the back end to try to go back and collect money. By the way, another technique that you can use is if you have people on a longer-term payment plan, you could always go back and offer a discount for early payoff. So people's financial situations change over time, and it could be that their situation improves and they have money available. And the other thing is people like to take advantage of discounts. So they feel like they're leaving money on the table if they don't take advantage of it. And so by simply offering a discount, it creates the opportunity for them to save some additional money. And who doesn't want a deal? So they feel like they're getting an added bonus from that. And then you collect the payment up front, and which, you know, lessens follow-up issues, possible non-payment, everything else like that. So there's a bit of strategy that's involved in how to collect that money. And by the way, another issue on the other side of the fence is what happens if somebody stops paying and you're still continuing to provide some type of service to them. Well, the obvious answer would be that if they're not paying for it anymore, then you probably want to stop providing whatever service that you're providing. And so, again, that can be part of the communication process, and should be part of the communication process, to let them know, hey, you know, and you wouldn't want to necessarily do that immediately. You'd want to initially communicate, find out if there was an issue or an error or something like that, try to resolve that first. But after a certain period of time, you would want to let them know that, oh, by the way, you know, the service that we're providing is not free, so we're going to have to end it if we don't receive payment by such and such date. And so you can provide a deadline or something like that to help motivate them. And then after that time, then you cut it off. So that's something to take a look at. And, you know, these are decisions that are best made not in the moment, but in advance, when you have a time to really sit down and think about it and think about what you want your policy to be. Now, how do you reinforce the sale after the fact? So somebody purchases, they bought, and then now, how do you hold that sale together? Because there's a period of time where you might have a money-back guarantee in effect or something like that. And during that time, people might consider, you know, asking for a refund. And so you want to do things that will reinforce the sale. So a simple thing to do is simply deliver whatever it is that they ordered. That's a really simple way to reinforce the sale, is complete the transaction. And so in some cases, if people are ordering products, then the goal is to get the product into their hand as quickly as possible. The other thing is you can also follow up by phone to confirm receipt of goods. You know, and in some cases, it might be a digital download or something like that, and you're providing electronically, or it might be a service that you're providing, so you're having a conversation with them. But it's a good idea to ask questions, see if they have any questions about what they received. If it's something complex, like a system or something like that, then you might even provide training or information on how to make use of it or how to get started with it. So these are all things that can help to reinforce that sale, because it helps the value to be delivered. And that's a key there, is that you want to help in the process of delivering the value. And sometimes, you know, because if it's like an audio product they download, then they're going to have to listen to it to get the value. And so it's really a matter of, how do I get them into action to listen to it? Is, you know, maybe there's an additional bonus you can provide if they take action and listen and fill out a quiz or something like that. You know, there's all sorts of creative things that you can do, but it's all about how to reinforce that sale. Serve your customer better. Get them into action to get as much value as possible as quickly as possible. Now, let's talk about video and how you could make use of it. So video is an effective tool for building trust and rapport. And so with video, you have an opportunity to be able to explain things. And you have an opportunity to set expectations. And you also have an opportunity to invite, to ask for help. So you can offer to help, you know, and give them methods to contact you. But the way you can make use of video is you can put it up on your website or your blog. You can send out an email with a link to a video. You can do a live training and then share a link for the videos for people to go and watch. You could share, you could have a private Facebook group and then share the videos there. So think about ways that you can make use of video. Now, let's talk about sales pages for a moment and how you can leverage, you know, how you can collect payment through a sales page. So a sales page is a web page where the only option is to buy. And typically, you would have one sales page for a specific product, or it could be a package or a bundle. And then the sales page is optimized. The words on the page, the copy, is optimized to help generate sales for that specific product or service. So one of the ways that you can collect money on a sales page is simply to have a button where people can buy. So first of all, let me share a tip with you. Have a big button, a big colorful button. That makes it easy for people to see where to buy, because I've seen a lot of sales pages where they don't make it easy to figure out where to buy, and you have to dig. And you know, usually it's some kind of a text link or something like that, and they just bury it in there, and it's tough to find. And then finally you find it and click on it, and it takes you out to the page where you can order the product. You also want to assign some type of a call to action to the button. And with a graphical button, you can add words directly onto it. You could have words like buy now, or order now, or sign up now, or enroll now. Those are all good statements to encourage people to take action now. Now, another method beyond a sales page is just to simply send an email. So if you're on the phone with somebody, for instance, and talking to them, and then you conclude the the conversation, and now it's a matter of collecting payment. So first of all, I recommend that you use template emails. So set up an email message that has all the details about what it is that you're offering, and then include a link to click and purchase. And so it could be a link to a sales page, but it also could just be a direct buy link through your shopping cart system or your e-commerce system. Most systems have that link, and that's what you would take and actually embed onto a sales page. But you can also just send people directly to that order form online where they can complete the transaction. Another method that you can use is you can have some type of a tool that would allow you to share the link instantly. With email, people will then have to go into their email to find your specific email, so it might get lost with everything else that's going on, and they miss your email. Not a good thing. So a great technique is to share online, share the link online. And this is not like sharing it publicly. This is like sharing it privately. So, for instance, if you identify during the conversation that you can talk or that they are on Facebook, for instance, then you can encourage them to be on Facebook, and then you could send them a private message. And so you could do this like early in the call, send them a private message and have them check it. And then a little bit later, then you could say, okay, I'm going to pop another link into Facebook for you. Here's a link for the product or the service. So what's nice about that is then it's instantaneous. Another way you can do this is through Skype. You can also do it if you host a GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting and also a GoToWebinar if you're presenting to a larger group of people. You can just share a link directly through the chat window. All right. I'm going to check questions here in just a moment. Let me share one or two more ideas here. Now, is there a time that you should charge full price, and is there a time that you should discount? And the answer is yes. First of all, typically, most anything that you offer should probably have some type of a discount price that you offer in certain instances. Some people prefer just to have, you know, the final amount that they charge and don't necessarily, quote-unquote, discount. But the challenge is that what ends up happening is if they look at, say, other vendors, then if they're offering a discount, then they feel that if you're not offering a discount, then they're not getting the best value. So there's a comparison that goes on there. So you have to be careful about that. And the other thing is you can make a comparison between what you say the total value is and what is it that you're offering that that they can take advantage of. So let's say that you're offering a service for $497, and you want to be able to offer a discount for it, say $397. So then you have to determine what are the circumstances under which you're going to provide that discount. So one of the ways you can do this is you can limit the communication on this to, you know, not so much publicly, but you limit it, you know, to if you're, you know, for instance, if you're doing a presentation, selling to a group one to many, doing a teleseminar, a webinar, a Google Hangout, or something like that. And so you have a specific discount that's being offered for that period of time. Another technique is the drop sell strategy. And so this is similar to a discount, but as you're presenting, what you do is you present and then you lay out the full value of what it is that you're offering, and then you drop the price to, you know, the discounted price. And this provides a contrast. So, you know, if you can create a large enough contrast, then what it ends up doing is it creates an irresistible offer. An irresistible offer. And that's one that is challenging to say no to. So how many irresistible offers do you have? It might be that you don't have enough irresistible offers and that you need to spend a little bit of time strategizing around that and thinking about how you can create one. Now, one of the ways that you might be presenting to somebody is when you're on the phone. And so if you're talking to somebody over the phone, you don't have web access or anything like that, then how do you conclude the sale? Well, if you have a merchant account, one of the ways you can conclude the sale is to simply ask for a credit card number. So if you have the ability to process a credit card transaction over the phone, and you could take the information and you could go process that. So that would be a simple strategy that you could use in order to collect payment. All right, let's go ahead and pop over to the Facebook page. Let me check out there. And it looks like we're up to 35 comments. So our goal today was 40. So it looks like we should hit 40 pretty easily. So let's just change it. And the new comment goal is going to be, we'll just bump it up to 60. We'll keep it simple and easy to attain. All right. Alan said, Roy posted the link out to the archives. Thanks for sharing that. Roy, Alan said, Rick Cooper has multiple webinars scheduled, 20 webinars in 20 business days. Yep. Roy said, today's topic, PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. Roy said, changing your payment model can increase your cash flow. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's something to take a look at from time to time. If you're interested in improving cash flow, having more money coming in more quickly, you might want to do it. In fact, a good exercise to do periodically is just make a list of everybody who owes you money. And you might have a more formal list, like within QuickBooks. You might be able to have your bookkeeper, accountant, or somebody else pull a list, or you might be able to pull it yourself of outstanding payments, for instance. But you've got to go through and update that list periodically. And once you have that list, then you can work that list. Alan said, payment plans, initial payment, and then more payments later. Roy said, yes, QuickBooks does have an invoicing option. It includes a link out to the site. Thanks for sharing that, Roy. Alan said, how to calculate how much to charge for project or by hour, depending on the service or project. Yeah. Let me just speak to that for a moment. Like, how do you figure that out? It's kind of challenging. If you do it by hour, then you're going to come up with a more accurate estimate, because it's based on the actual time. So first of all, if you're providing a service, you should be using some kind of a time tracking software. There are many different types of online software out there that can track time, but you want to use something where you can enter in the start time and end time on specific tasks and relate those back to projects. And that will allow you to do some reporting around that. So having that information can help. And then you just have to make some assumptions. You have to take a look at a project and not every project this might, work for, because, it could be that the larger the company, the more work that's involved. But you want to take a look at historically what's happened. And if you find that the number of hours tends to be pretty consistent, then you could look at breaking it out and saying, you could say something like, this project is going to take 3 stages. And we'll get started with the first stage. And then if you're interested in making progress on the second one, then we can start working on it. But come up with some type of a fee schedule. It's kind of like a menu of services. And you don't necessarily have to show that to everyone. You don't have to put that out on the internet or anything like that. You can just kind of quote prices from it as needed. But it's a good idea to at least compile it for your own purposes. Susan Schlieff is on the call today and says, hi, everybody. I was planning to listen to today's call, but now that I'm logged in, I realize I have too much to do, so I'm signing off. See you next week. All right, thanks, Susan. By the way, next week we're doing a special are we on module 12? I think today is module 12. So I think next week we're doing a group call, I believe. I'll have to double check here real quick. I might be ahead of myself. Nope, this looks like module 12. So I think we are doing, we'll do a group coaching call next week. Alan said, some people may prefer one method of payment over another. Yes, absolutely. Roy said, thanks for the cameo appearance, Susan. Have a great week. Roy said, payment models include by the hour, by the project, retainer, commission, share, etc. Yeah, all sorts of different methods for payment. Alan said, we're setting up recurring payments. It depends on the type of service that you're using. Right. What about when people stop paying? Alan says, yes. How do you deal with a situation where somebody no longer is paying and you have to stop providing the service and try to find some methods for collecting the payment? And ideally, it's best if you can have somebody on your team who's doing that for you. Like if you're the one that's providing service and you're the one doing, you know, collecting the payments, that's kind of rough. So if you have somebody on your staff, on your team, who can do that, much better. Alan said, what about when people, I already read that one. He says, first have a process to follow and sequence of email reminders and touch base with them to see what the issue is, right? Have an organized method around that. Alan said, it could be because the credit card reached the expiration date, right? And Roy said, expectations, anticipations, preparations. There's a sentence in there somewhere. There you go. Thanks. Alan said, address missed payments soon because it gets more difficult to deal with as time passes. Yeah, absolutely. And if you have any questions, too, feel free to post those in the group as well. It looks like mostly just takeaways people are sharing here, so thanks for sharing that. Alan said, if payment is not forthcoming or the issue is not resolved, then you will need to stop providing the services. Right. That creates that added pressure where, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do now? And then, you know, that may cause them to suddenly find the money. Alan said, reinforce the sale by completing the transaction and delivering the product. Absolutely. And, you know, you might need some kind of a welcome message or a welcome video. You just have to be creative and think about what would be appropriate for your particular situation for what you're offering. But if you can do things by creating leverage, by using autoresponders, videos, having pages up on your website, that can be definitely beneficial as well. Let's see. Alan says, address missed payments soon. Actually, I read that one. Let's see. Hang on. Let me just get back down. Roy said, remind them of the benefits and the value after the sale. That's a good one. Yeah, remind them of the benefits. What was the reason that they purchased? What are they going to get? Remind them of that. Get them into consuming the product as quickly as possible. Some of your communication should be about consumption of your product, making use of it quickly, getting the benefits, experiencing the benefits of it. Alan said, use video to build trust and rapport. Explain things, set expectations, and invite others to ask for help if they need it. Definitely, yeah, video can be a great tool for that. Roy said, use a sales page to collect payments. Yeah, that's a best practice for generating sales. And he says, a sales page is a web page where the only option available is to buy. I have seen a couple sales pages, though, where they have an opt-in on there as well. And it really just depends on the strategy that's involved. Like you can put an opt-in on a sales page, for example, if you're driving traffic from social media. Because you're going from social media where somebody clicks on an ad, takes you to a web page, and now you have an option to purchase. They may not be ready to purchase, but they might be interested in a free resource. So that's a tip there. Roy said, use a sales page to collect payments. Let's see. Roy said, make your buy button easy to see. Yep, big and easy to see. Roy said, label your button with a call to action. And by the way, you can have another call to action too. You can have a call to action prior to that, and then you can have the button itself, and the button itself is the call to action as well with words on it. Alan said, have a big colorful buy button with a call to action like buy now. Roy said, create template emails for selling by email. Template emails for selling by email. Yep, that's right. Use the templates. Alan said, there is a time to offer a discount, and people may be conditioned by other sales pages to expect a discount or a bonus. Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of people are pretty savvy in the online world, and they've come across a lot of web pages. And so, simply by, if they go there and they don't see that there's a discount, then they may feel like they're getting charged too much. Roy said, contrast normal price with the discount price. Yeah, absolutely. I'll usually include a statement like, you could put like a message that says something like, save $500 by enrolling today. That would tell them what the difference is, as they're going to be saving on it or not. I mean, you can just have the straight amount there as well. But if you can have that contrast, then that works very well. Alan said, drop sales when you present a list of the value of each component and have a high price total that you can later slash for a discount. Yeah, that's typically how it's done. Is you would on a sales page, typically one of the best practices is to have multiple components. It's not just selling one particular product; it's selling multiple, and you would want to have kind of a summary of all the different things included, and then the total price, and then below that, what the discounted price is. Alan, let's see. That one. Roy said, use merchant account for processing payments over the phone. Yeah, merchant accounts, there is a cost to them. So you want to, take a look around and see who's available. You might be able to ask for some referrals from your network, four different companies, and or even go to your bank to get a merchant account. And there's a lot of setup and configuration to get it working in your system, but once it's working, then you're golden. All right, let's see. Referring to the comment goal, bump it up to 60. Alan said 60 is the new 40. Roy said, when billing by the hour, have a system in place to account for extra hours and avoid unpaid hours. Yeah, that's a good tip too, because if you're doing extra work and you're not charging for it, then you're being underpaid. So you need a system and a method or a methodology to be able to keep track of what work that you're doing. It needs to be a habit. Okay, it looks like I got to the end of the posts here, so I'm going to do a refresh. And it looks like we've got about, we'll probably take about 10 more minutes and respond to any questions out here. Let's see, there's a couple more comments here. Roy says, follow-up communication after the sale should encourage them to consume the product. Yep, that's a good one. In fact, let me just pause there for a moment. So the idea here would be to set up an autoresponder series of messages that will go out over time. In fact, let me share an idea with you here. I was watching this video one time. One of my clients purchased a program from a speaker by the name of Joey Coleman. And Joey is, I can best describe him as kind of like a customer service guru, but it's beyond just kind of the simple customer service. It's really more about, creating, better customer experiences. And so his whole approach is about what to do, in following up with customers, new customers, old customers, whatever it is, but having, developing systems, whether it's through video or email autoresponders or whatever else it is. And he's got like a whole system and a process for how to do this. But the idea to share with you right now is just that there's a value in developing that customer relationship after the sale. And typically the best customers are going to be, number one, your most satisfied customers. That makes sense that somebody who is satisfied with what you're doing would also be one of your best customers or clients. And then also that you've got some kind of a system in place to do that consistently over time. It's that consistency piece that's difficult for many people. And so this takes some time to map out. This is not something that gets done, quickly and easily. It's something that gets done maybe over time. And it could be if you have multiple products, then you might have, you know, a process that you need to set up for each one. So it could be initially start off, you know, make it simple. Maybe do something like 3 email autoresponders for every new person who purchases a product. And then maybe have a follow-up beyond that as well. Let's see. Roy said, for a long sales page, you can include several strategically placed buy buttons. That's another idea. Absolutely. Or links that lead down to the buy button. That would be another way to do it too. Or I said, Rick, maybe you could also discuss recurring payments where there's an upsell at the end of their payment for one program. Let's see. All right, so recurring payments, and then there's an upsell at the end of their payment for one program. I think what that means is, so one of the concepts is around a marketing funnel. And so imagine a funnel, wide at the top, narrow at the bottom. The top of the funnel, you offer something for free. A little deeper in the funnel is something at a low cost. A little deeper is something at a medium price range. And then at the deepest part of the funnel is, you know, a product or service at, you know, at the highest price point. And then the concept would be that in some cases you might have a product where, you know, let's just say, for instance, you have one product that's $300, and then you have another product that's $1,000. And you could upgrade somebody, and in upgrading them, you would discount the original amount that they purchased for the other product. This is great where you have a product that's inclusive, which means, you know, let's just call it product A and product B. So you can buy product A for $300. You can buy product B for $1,000. Well, product B also includes product A. So if somebody spent $300 and then spent another $1,000, they would actually be spending $1,300. But they're essentially paying for that program twice. So essentially what you can do is you can discount the price on the first product, or you would so if you were offering an upgrade, what you would say is, okay, so you've already invested X, you know, like $300, and so the price of the program is $1,000, so you can sign up today for just $700, or you could do some kind of payment plan option. So it can get kind of tricky, and if you're doing, you know, sales online and asking people to go out for a sales page, you can't really account for all of this. There are some times when you need to actually talk to somebody and then, you know, follow up and provide them some kind of a link to sign up for something. And Roy says, or also paying concurrently for multiple programs. Yeah, so it could be that you have multiple payment plans. So if you didn't pay for the $300 in full, you might be paying, you know, say $100 a month for the first program, and then you sign up for the second program, and now you're making additional payments. So in general, that's probably the easiest way to do it. If you try to wrap or roll the original payment into the other one, it gets kind of complex. Most e-commerce systems don't have that kind of capability. So that makes it more difficult. So you have to be, you know, if you end up with a situation like that, then you know, just be aware that if somebody has two payments they're paying, then that might be a little bit more of a burden for them. So you just have to keep an eye out for that. So have a watch list, you know, to look and check to make sure if payments are being collected on time. Well, I said, for example, they're paying for a silver program and you offer them a platinum program. Exactly. Well, I said, yes, what you're describing is what I had in mind. Good. All right, I got the drift on that one. Perfect. Okay, good. Let me do a refresh. Looks like we're up to 47 comments. So let me think of a couple more quick ideas that I can share on this topic. What about changes of price and just, altering the price? I mean, there's a time to raise your prices and there's a time to lower your prices. So And also, and another strategy related to this, by the way, is you can also take away products away and you can bring them back. And I think the master at this is probably Disney. How many times have you heard that, probably especially if you have children, that they are eliminating a product? You know, Snow White is no longer going to be available. You won't be able to purchase it anywhere. So if you want to take advantage of this opportunity to get Snow White, then get out to the store and get it now. And then 3 years later, they come back out and they say, we're re-releasing the 25th, or it would be like the 50th anniversary edition of Snow White with newly digitally mastered footage and never seen before footage of Walt Disney and Roy Disney together talking about Snow White. And so they bring it back, and then it's more expensive. The product, the price went up. So Disney does this very well, and many companies do this very well. And so you can look at other companies and other industries selling other products, and you can be inspired by an idea. And then you can take that idea, and then you can model your pricing around that as well. Let's see. Roy says, upsell for inclusive products. For example, product B includes product A, can incorporate a discount. Roy said, price changes. Sometimes you raise the prices, sometimes you lower them. And then also Disney and Spielberg both like to do that with limited availability. And then says, to support that, Disney has a very aggressive YouTube piracy surveillance policy. Yeah, absolutely. Like some things like Beatles songs you cannot find on YouTube. If somebody posts a Beatles song out there, it's gone within like a couple weeks. So those are policed very aggressively. Roy said, study pricing strategies of successful companies. Absolutely. Okay. Well, in wrapping up the call today, a couple final thoughts here. One, I do encourage you to join me next week because we'll do a special group coaching session. So actually bring people live onto the call. And so you'll have an opportunity to ask questions. In fact, the format will be when I call on you, you can ask a question, you can share a win, you can share a tip, or you can pass. And then the other thing is, you know, we're going to start up back with Module 1 2 weeks from now. So I want to encourage you to make a commitment to go back through this program again another time. And here's the thing. Every time you go through this program, you're probably going to hear things that you didn't hear before. And you're probably going to be a different place in your business. You may have actually taken time to implement some of the ideas that I've suggested. And so let's say that you, you know, this time through that you selected an email marketing system and you got the system set up. And now you have this system. So you no longer have to think about what system to select. Now you actually have to think about what kind of email messages to send out. And now you can go back through the program and get additional ideas to be able to do that and implement those strategies and ideas. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the call for today. So I want to thank you for joining me on the call. I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.